Who remembers something from the last class, which was so long ago it's hard even to remember when the last class was? Was it years ago, months ago? Something from the last class. Tapovan. Yes. What did he do in Tapovan? Huh?
Eating tree trunks.
Eating tree trunks. Yes, it's true, the bark of trees. But he did other things too.
He was applying himself with the same seriousness and determination.
Yeah. Nice point. Anyone remember anything else? Yes, cold water. Very difficult. What is the purpose of such austerity?
To make the shelter of the Supreme Personality of God.
Yes.
And there was saying about also Dhrasraya, about false shelter. And real shelter only the board of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality
yes.
of God.
He actually followed all the instructions that the Sanat Kumar gave him in his life and in the renunciation of his kingship, because the purpose of everything he did was to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only was that the purpose of everything that Prithu Maharaj did, it's also the purpose of everything that we do. And we should keep that purpose in the forefront of our consciousness. Sarva vidhi nishedha cha itya eva kinkara. We're supposed to always be remembering Krishna. Gotripte varanam tata. Thinking as we are serving Krishna that we are being protected by Krishna. Why should we think that we are being protected by Krishna? Because we are trying to serve him. And naturally the servant is protected by the powerful master. Especially when the servant is very dependent. So whether we are dependent on Krishna or not, certainly we are dependent on Krishna. In what sense are we dependent on Krishna? Huh? Fully dependent. But which one? What one specific way? Maintenance. More specific. Huh? Yes, more specific. Food, more specific than food and drink. Prasada, more specific. Water.
Air.
Sabji. Rice. Everything. Chapatis. If he does not provide the strength to the person to roll the chapatis, the fire, the grains, the water, all the things that go up to make a chapati, they are all dependent on him, on one simple chapati. How is it possible that a seed is put in the earth? And all you add is water. And what comes out? Is the wheat, the atta, and from the atta it's ground up into a chapati. So many different seeds are put in the earth, and nothing is added but water to the same earth, and yet so many different things come out. If we put in a mango seed, the mango with its very sweet taste will come out. Which is the sweetest of all mangoes? Huh? I'm asking. Huh? Yes. More specific. If there are no Bengalis here, obviously, because Bengalis would tell you whether it or from Bombay, there's a special mango that you get in Bombay only. maybe. Now we're coming up with these specific names. In Raj Sayyid, there's this special mango in Bangladesh that everyone just waits for the mango season. So, we are meant to follow the exemplary example, the exemplary actions of Prithu Maharaj in his full dependence on Krishna. He acted in his Ashtanga Yoga, but it was only to increase his dependence on Krishna, the depth of his meditation on Krishna, his devotion to Krishna. Do we look at the activities that we perform in that way? I hope so. Consciously, it is a very good cultivation. So in text, the last text we read was 10, and today we shall attempt to cover more than the prescribed amount. But he was continuing this yoga practice. And in the previous verse, in text 10, it describes that his love, Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat, he became his devotion, Bhakti Bhavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Brahmani, the origin of impersonal Brahman, Ananya Vishaya, firmly fixed without deviation. His devotion, due to his practices, became fixed without deviation. What does that mean? Unwavering. What does it practically mean? Specific. What does it mean to be unwavering in devotional service? What does it mean to be steady? Huh? No karma and jnana. What else? Yes, the consciousness doesn't become deviated. The material energy's entire purpose is to cover and us and throw us down and make us forget our relationship with Krishna. And what is our relationship with Krishna? We are his servant. There is no avoiding that. His sheltered servant, but we are unconscious of that. So we want to bring that which is unconscious to the forefront of our consciousness. And Maya's business is to stop us. So through the mechanical process of Ashtanga Yoga, or through developing love for Krishna, one can overcome the conditioning of Maya, which wishes to separate us in consciousness from Krishna. We cannot in fact be separated from Krishna, but separated in consciousness. So he overcame that. How? What does the text say? 10. Yes, the last text we read yesterday. Huh? By rules and regulations and his love and devotion, bhakti bhavati. His bhakti increased. It takes an increase of bhakti. Increase of bhakti means decrease of maya. And then he became firmly fixed. His shelter was established. And that is what we, and that is basically the liberated position, the established shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. I don't want anything else, and consciousness is pure enough to be maintained there. Because we may say, I only want Krishna, but as long as we have the impulses of the modes of passion, ignorance playing in our consciousness, one, very difficult to remain fixed. Very difficult. So purification of the heart has to take place. And again, the process is the same. By Bhagavad Bhakti, Bhakti Bhavati, Bhagavati Ananya, Vishaya Bhavat. by regulated devotion, by fixed devotion. Regulated devotion means there is a fixedness, but the fixedness comes from the Shastra, the subordination to Guru and Shastra. That gives the extra strength until one is purified. So that purifies one. Until one, by one's period of consciousness, can maintain the fixedness by himself. So text 11. Same point. By regularly discharging devotional service. What's another word for discharging? Discharging devotional service.
Performing,
executing. What else? Carrying out. Rendering. Acting in devotional service. Yeah, all these words. Performing devotional service. Prithu Maharaj became transcendental of mind. And here's that point. And could therefore completely think, constantly think, of the lotus feet of the Lord. What strikes you in that? He had to become transcendental in mind. Because for one to be in fire, one also has to be fire. When there's a big blazing fire, you cannot get close because your body is made out of earth mostly and water. So you cannot get close to the fire, but something of fire can be directly in the fire. So similarly, for us to be in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we have to become very deeply transcendental, not superficially. So the process of Krishna consciousness and the trials and tribulations that we experience are actually Krishna deepening us, teaching us to hold on more tightly and pulling away or fall shelter, shaking us even. So if we're holding on loosely, we'll be knocked right off. And then what happens if we get knocked off? That depends on the person. Either he quickly becomes frightened and climbs back on and holds on even more tightly, or he says, well, I'm off the tree of bhakti anyway, so I might as well try to find something to eat on the ground. And then Krishna will arrange something to push him back to Krishna, to his lotus feet on the tree of bhakti. Prabhupada, so by regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind. Raise your hand if you would like to become transcendental in mind. That means not affected by the three modes of material nature. No passion. They whip us. No ignorance. It whips us. Even goodness is rarefied and pure. But those elements, those modes, passion and ignorance, they give us so much trouble. They torture us. Torture, really. So when his mind was transcendental through performing sadhana bhakti, he could constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubt. He became deeply realized. Thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego. So this is at the root of the problem. False ego. False sense of identity. We all have. If we examine our consciousness, we all perceive that we are existing. We perceive that we are different from others. We are individuals. But due to false ego, we identify with the body, we identify with the mind. Due to false sense of identity, our identity with Krishna is covered like a man with amnesia. His relationship with his true family is forgotten. So similarly, the false ego that covers us, it's one of the... Who is the predominating deity of false ego? Lord Shiva is Sankarsan. Yes. Lord Shiva. So due to that energy, we are cut off in consciousness from Krishna, and therefore atta eva maya tari samsareda duk, we suffer so much. So the process of Krishna consciousness gets directly to the point. Remove false ego. Sanat Kumar said the same thing. Give up bodily concept of life and be attached to Krishna, established in real ego. I am Krishna's servant. Jivera Sarupoi Krishner Nityadas. So he became detached, because naturally he was purified, he became detached and attained perfect knowledge of his relationship with Krishna, by experiencing that Param Dvistvanavartite, higher taste, and thus he was no doubts anymore due to his experience. Prayojana means that which is experienced. He was experiencing something of his relationship with Krishna, the necessity, the prayojan, and therefore no doubts. Like if after if I say, how do you know you're here, Madan Gopal? Even without going like this, you know you're here. Because you're experiencing being here. You don't doubt it. There's no question of doubt. Are you really here, actually? Sometimes, well. That means that you're here all the time, but you're forgetting that you're here. So the idea is that by experiencing this full experience of knowledge, freed from the clutches of false ego and doubt in the material concept of life. Prabhupada's purport. In the Narada Pancharatra, devotional service to the Lord is likened unto a queen. When a queen gives an audience, many maidservants follow her. The maidservants of devotional service are material opulence, liberation, and mystic powers. The karmis are very much attached to material enjoyment. The jnanis are anxious to become freed from material clutches, and the yogis are very fond of attaining the eight kinds of mystic perfections. So what is the devotee attached to? Yeah. Serving Krishna with great devotion, very fully attached to Krishna. Fully attached to Krishna. We'll go to the paragraph right after Mamcheova Bacharina. Because of his regular discharge of devotional service, a devotee attains the transcendental stage of life. Since his mind is transcendentally situated, he cannot think of anything but the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the meaning of the word samsmarana anuputya. By constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee immediately becomes situated in Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva refers to that platform which is above the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered to be representative of the highest perfection. But one has to transcend this mode and come to the stage of Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness, where the three qualities of material nature cannot act. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. If one has strong digestive power, after eating, he automatically lights a fire within his stomach to digest everything and does not need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire of devotional service is so strong that a devotee does not need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from material attractions. A jnani may, so in other words, we really should put great energy into developing devotional service, attachment to Krishna, attraction to Krishna, the higher taste Param Dvistvana Vartate. Everything will follow that because we'll become fixed as a devotee. Our shelter will be fixed. A jnani may become detached from material attractions by prolonged discussions on subjects of knowledge and may in this way finally come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage. But a devotee does not have to undergo so much trouble. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains the Brahma-Bhuta stage without a doubt. The yogis and jnanis are always doubtful about their constitutional position. Therefore, they mistakenly think of becoming one with the Supreme. However, a devotee's relationship with the Supreme becomes manifest beyond all doubt. And he immediately understands that his position is that of eternal servant of the Lord. Jnanis and yogis without devotion may think themselves liberated, but actually their intelligence is not as pure as that of devotees. In other words, the jnanis and yogis cannot become factually liberated unless they become elevated to the position of devotees. Arua kristena paramparam tada patyantyado andrita yuzman angraya. That means that one has to, just as the four kumaras said, take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That shelter is required. The jnanis and yogis may rise to the highest position, Brahman realization, but because of their lack of devotion unto the lotus feet of the Lord, they again fall down into material nature. Therefore, jnana and yoga should not be accepted as the real process of liberation. By discharging devotional service, Maharaj Prithu automatically transcended all of these positions. Since Maharaj Prithu is a Shaktivesha incarnation of the Lord, he did not have to act in any way to attain liberation. He came from the Vaikuntha world, or spiritual sky, in order to execute the will of the Supreme Lord on earth. Consequently, he was to return home back to Godhead without having to execute Gyan Yoga or Karma. Although Prithu Maharaj was eternally a pure devotee of the Lord, he nonetheless adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach the people in general the proper process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. Text 12. When he became completely free of the conception of bodily life, Maharaj Prithu realized Lord Krishna sitting in everyone's heart as the Paramatma. Being thus able to get all instructions from him, he gave up all other practices of yoga and jnana. He was not even interested in the perfection of the yoga and jnana systems. What is the perfection of the yoga system? Mystic powers and the perfection of the jnana system? Sayujya Mukti. For he thoroughly realized that devotional service to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and that unless the yogis and jnanis become attracted to Krishna Katha, Yavad Gada Graja Katasu Ratim Nakuryat. Ratim, attraction, katasu, gadagraj. What does gadagraj mean? The gada, or if we were in Mayapur, godo. Club. So that is Krishna. And hearing about Krishna without that taste, we are not secure. We must somehow get that taste. And how to somehow get that taste? Huh? By chanting. Associate with the person who has taste. Yes, say the Sanskrit. Vasudeva Kataruchi, same. Sian Mahatseva Vipro Punatiyatana Sevanat. But all those things, by chanting, by hearing, the process of devotional service. It should award us the taste. A taste. And what should we do if we struggle on and have no taste? Or rather, our taste for the world of maya, of matter, is there and staring at us continuously. Well, what do we do? Yes. Huh? I can't hear you. Start begging. We have to take shelter of the direct processes of devotion. Otherwise our position is precarious. Or rather, our position is precarious, so therefore we have to strongly take shelter. One time there was a devotee, this was in perhaps 1967 or something, wrote Prabhupada a letter and said he was having problems in his devotional service. So Prabhupada said, go to the temple. He was somewhere else, but go to the temple, 26 Second Avenue, and chant 64 rounds a day until I get there. Because Prabhupada was coming in a month or something like that. So you go to the temple, you chant 64 rounds a day until I get there. So the devotee was chanting 64 rounds a day, and then he expected the Prabhupada, when he got there, to tell him something different and special, but Prabhupada didn't mention anything else about it. But that fact that he was chanting 64 rounds a day, practically speaking, removed the problem. Whatever it was, I don't remember what it was. So in other words, that is the shelter. And we have to take the shelter strongly. There are different kinds of bhakti. Some have, say, if we are managing the preaching, that type of managing doesn't have the same potency, inherent potency, as chanting Krishna's names. No, we have to engage strongly in the direct processes of devotional service. Prabhupada will bring this out, and he brings this out many, 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 many times. And quality chanting, quality hearing, quality association. Quality association doesn't mean going with the devotees to the restaurant and sitting around talking about this and that. Quality association means sitting and talking about Krishna. So, unless yogis and jnanis become attracted to Krishna Katha, their illusions concerning existence can never be dispelled. Prabhupada says in the purport, we'll read just a little of this purport, a few sentences down, or maybe even in the middle of the second sentence. When one understands that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Krishna, he realizes Krishna within everyone's heart, and therefore helps everyone who is interested in Krishna consciousness. Actually, the perfection of life depends on one's inclination to hear about Krishna. There's the reference that I was remembering. You can write that one down. The perfection of life depends on one's inclination to hear about Krishna. It is therefore mentioned in this verse, Yavad Gadag Graja Katasuratim Nakuryat. Unless one becomes interested in Krishna, in his pastimes and activities, there is no question of liberation by means of yoga practice or speculative knowledge. What to speak of bhakti? Now, this text 13 is a summary, practically speaking, or a look ahead at the next verses until 18. Because this is going, this tells that Prithumaraj left this world. Evam sa vira pravara. Thus, he vira pravara, the chief of the heroes, the great Prithumaraj, samyoja atmanam atmani, applying his atmanam, his mind, his consciousness, upon atmani, the supersoul, Brahmabhuta being liberated, drita, firmly, kale, in due course of time, tatyaja, he gave up swam kalevaram, his body. So one would think the next verse after this explains what happens after that, but actually it's going to explain the process by which he did this from 14 to 18. Now Prabhupada says in his purport, according to a Bengali proverb, whatever spiritual progress one makes in life will be tested at the time of death. Recently I've heard Prabhupada say that one in many lectures, and maybe someone can quickly look it up on the Vedabase and remind me what that Bengali proverb is in Bengali. That whatever you do, you know it? Bhajan? Okay, say it one more time. Bhajan? Mrityu? Janre? Janre hoy. Janle hoy. Yes. So one can put on a good show, so to speak. And everyone will say, oh, you're a great this and you're a great that. You can speak so nicely, give such nice class. But the real test is this. At the time when one is leaving the world, where one's shelter will be. How much one has developed a shelter and an attachment and attraction for Krishna. And where one's mind will hold tightly to at that time. In Bhagavad Gita 8.6, it is also confirmed, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajan yante kalevaram tam tam avyaktikantaya saratad bhava bharata. Those who are practicing Krishna consciousness know that their examination will be held at the time of death. The final exam. Start preparing now. If one can remember Krishna at death, he is immediately transferred to Goloka Vrindavan or Krishna Loka, and thus his life becomes successful. Prithumaraj, by the grace of Krishna, could understand that the end of his life was near, and thus he became very jubilant and proceeded to completely give up his body on the Brahmabhuta stage by practicing the yogic process. It is thoroughly described in the following verses how one can voluntarily give up this body and return home back to Godhead. The yoga process practiced by Prithumaraj at the time of death accelerates the giving up of this body while one is in sound health physically and mentally. Every devotee desires to give up the body when it is sound physically and mentally. Why? How can a devotee actually desire that? Detachment on one side and attachment to Krishna on the other. This desire was also expressed by King Kulashekar in his Makundamala Stotra, Krishna Padiya Parapankaja Pandarantam. Is there, yes, go ahead. Pana Pranaya Samaye Kafavata Pitai Kanta Varo Dhanavadao Smaranam Kutascha. King Kulashekar wanted to give up his body while in a healthy state. And thus he prayed to Krishna to let him die immediately when he was in good health and while his mind was sound. I just heard perhaps yesterday or 2 days ago of one Mataji who was very ill recently, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Very ill, she had cancer and she was clear she was going to leave. So she was in so much pain for 8 months and things like that. So her dear friend said to her one day, why don't you just leave? And she said, how do I do that? And she replied, I don't know. But then, on that very day, she was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting all day, all night, or the Mataji told me, for 7.5 hours straight, intensely chanting. And the other Mataji went to be with her sometimes. And for 7.5 hours, she chanted intensely and then just left. Yeah. So quite amazing and wonderful. So will we be able to be so fixed? Bhajan kore, sadan kore, janle hoy, mitte? That's French. Yeah, how successful you actually are in your sadhana and your bhajan. Will be tested. So when a man, so King Kulasekara wanted to give up his body while in a healthy state, and he thus prayed to Krishna to let him die immediately when he was in good health and while his mind was sound. When a man dies, he's generally overpowered by mucus and bile, and thus he chokes, since it is very difficult to vibrate any sound while choking. It is simply by Krishna's grace that one can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death. Or Suchi Rani Mataji, right when she was leaving, it was clear Jagtwini Mataji was with her, and Jagtwini said to her, chant! And Suchi Rani said, I am! But she was chanting in her mind, and then she left. She let us know very kindly that she was actually chanting in her mind, and then she left. However, by situating oneself in the Muktasan position, a yogi can immediately give up his body and go to whatever planet he desires. A perfect yogi can give up his body whenever he desires through the practice of yoga. When Maharaj Prithu practiced, so now from 14 to 18, there is a summary of the process of what he did. He practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, Muktasan. He blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his left air upward. This is Kundalini Yoga, passing it on to the circle of his navel, up the chakras to the heart, to the throat, forehead, Brahmarandram, and upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. Prabhupada's purport, about three quarters of the way. The conclusion is that one has to come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage for going back home, back to Godhead. That means no material attachment. And how, again, did Prabhupada in his purports say what was the process of attaining, of detaching oneself from matter? By the positive attachment to Krishna. Not that we just get attached to Krishna, try to get attached to Krishna without working on detaching ourselves from matter, but without attachment to Krishna. The jnanis and yogis try to, especially the jnanis, they try to become detached, and their position is precarious because of without a positive engagement. So the param dvistvinavartite is required. So therefore Prabhupada says, however, those who are in Krishna consciousness, who are practicing bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, can return to Godhead without even practicing the Muktasan process. The purpose of Muktasan practice is to come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage, for without being on that stage, one cannot be promoted to the spiritual sky. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, mam cheo vacharena bhakti yogena sevate. So one transcends the modes. One needs positive attachment. It is not enough to just be detached and floating in a detached state. One needs positive attachment. The bhakti yoga, practicing bhakti yoga, is always situated on the Brahma-Bhuta stage. If a devotee is able to continue on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, he enters the spiritual sky automatically after death and returns to Godhead. 15. In this way, by that mukta son, Prithu Maharaj gradually raised his air of life up to the hole in his skull, whereupon he lost all desire for material existence. Gradually he merged his life, his air of life with the totality of air, his body with the totality of earth, and the fire within his body with the totality of fire. So who else performed this similar reverse amalgamation process? Dhritarashtra? Yes. Yes, and Dhruva Maharaj was different. What did he do? Huh? What did Dhruva Maharaj do? The head of death. He used death as a stepping stone, stood upon death's head to board the airplane into Vaikuntha. Narada Muni, as death, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Similarly, Narada Muni, as he gave up this material body, he died. His spiritual body became manifest. This is the process of bhakti. In this way, according to the different positions of the various parts of the body, Prithu Maharaj merged the holes of his senses with the sky, his bodily liquid such as blood and various secretions with the totality of water, and he merged earth with water, then water with fire, fire with air, air within sky. In other words, the gross into the subtle, gross into subtle, still more subtle, everything into the more subtle from the element from which it came to, from. He amalgamated the mind with the senses and the senses with the sense objects according to their respective positions. And he also amalgamated the material ego with the total material ego, the Mahatattva. So Prabhupada says that continuing what he said about austerity in the beginning of this chapter, he said that this is very difficult in Kali Yuga. And therefore in the purport to 17, he says, we need only take the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to cleanse the mind of all material contamination. And this may be considered the summary of this difficult verse. Chant Hare Krishna. Cleanse the mind of all the contamination. Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. As soon as the whole material contamination is washed away by this process of chanting, all desires and reactions to material activities become immediately vanquished, and real life, peaceful existence begins. In this age of Kali, it is very difficult to adopt the yogic process mentioned in this verse, unless one is very expert in such yoga. The best course is to adopt the ways and means of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Thus one can gloriously become free from all material contamination by the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what is, now, what happened, if Prabhupada didn't use the word gloriously in this sentence, the sentence would read, one can become freed from all material contaminations by the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. But he put in the word gloriously free, become freed. So what does the word gloriously add to the sentence? What is the meaning of gloriously here? What's the difference between becoming freed from material contamination and gloriously becoming freed? Excuse me? But what is glorify? Yeah, okay, where are you going to go? Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. Freedom from material contamination is glorious. It's true. But then the word glorious, okay, you can say it adds something. Yes. But yes, that's, yeah, these are nice, all nice. Yes. Simple, the simplicity of it. Yes, so that's glorious. And what is his own glory? But what is that glory? What? Be more specific. Yes, with Krishna. Because one can become freed from material contamination and approach Brahman. But the Vaishnavacharyas will not say that is glorious. Rather they will say Kaivalya Narakayate, it is like hell. Just imagine. That this material life is such, actually speaking, it's suffering, it's pain, one thing after the next. You push away one problem, another problem comes, more anxiety. Then the body starts hurting, and then you've solved that bodily problem, and then another bodily problem, and a financial problem, and a friend problem, an enemy problem. And we, in illusion, we keep thinking only if I move this problem, then I could be happy. Or if I gain this, and that will remove a problem. That is illusion. Material life means illusion. So becoming free from all the attachments that bind us to this illusion, that is wonderful. But that alone is considered hell by a devotee who's experienced in the sweetness of serving Krishna. So how glorious, even compared to freedom from material contamination, is loving service to Krishna. So gloriously established in this freedom means something more than just, but I think what you also said was nice, many of you devotees, and how it's glorious because it's simple, it's glorious for so many reasons. But it's more, what one gets from chanting Hare Krishna is more than just freedom from contamination, it's glorious. What does, in French or Latin, what does gloria mean, glorious? Glorious. It means magnificent, wonderful, extremely wonderful. So that is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One could be glorious, and then Prabhupada uses the word glorious here. One can gloriously become freed from all material contamination by the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. Just as life in this material world has its beginning in material sound, similarly, a spiritual life has its beginning in spiritual sound vibration. And also it's glorious because it's simple, as some of the devotees pointed out. Prithu Maharaj, because what could be more glorious than Krishna? Who could be more glorious than Krishna? Akshanvantam phalamidam param vidhama. The perfection of the eyes is to gaze at the beautiful form of Krishna. Prithu Maharaj then offered the total designation. So this is the last of these verses. The total designation of the living entity into the supreme controller of illusory energy, being released from all the designations by which the living entity became entrapped. It became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of its devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up his body as Prabhu, or controller of the senses. So he acted as the controller of the senses. Text 19. So he left this world by his own power. The queen, the wife of Prithumaraj, whose name was Arjun, followed her husband into the forest. Since she was a queen, her body was very delicate. Now, why was her body very delicate? She had so many servants. Although she did not deserve, now tell me the meaning of this sentence. Although she did not deserve to live in the forest, she voluntarily touched her lotus feet to the ground. What is the meaning of that? She touched her lotus feet to the ground. What do you think that means? Palanquin, or she never stepped out of the palace and the carpets or whatever of the palace, and then she had to walk through the forest. So delicate. So she voluntarily followed her husband to this incredibly austere situation in the forest. Although she was not accustomed to such difficulties, Queen Archie followed her husband in the regulative principles of living in the forest like great sages. She lay down on the ground and ate only fruits, flowers, and leaves. And because she was not fit for these activities, she became frail and thin. Yet because of the pleasure she derived in serving her husband, she did not feel any difficulty. When Queen Archie saw that her husband, who had been so merciful to her in the earth, no longer showed symptoms of life, she lamented for a little while and then built a fiery pyre on top of a hill and placed the body of her husband on it. So this will also be described in the next similar circumstance in the next, but even in more detail, very heart-touching detail in the story. After Paranjana leaves this world, in the next section, he becomes a queen who has very beautiful eyes. And she also accompanies her husband to the forest. And she was massaging her husband, who was a king's lotus feet. And he left this world. And she knew he had left because his feet suddenly became cold. So these women were such powerful personages too. They performed incredible austerities with incredible chastity. How fixed in mind does one have to be? How non-flickering of mind? Or Draupadi. The Pandavas, one by one, just went north when it was time for them to leave. And she just followed them along too. They didn't tell her, ask her. She just came along. And that the system, there was a way of leaving this world, the way that the Pandavas followed, is that they would walk north and just keep walking until they died. Just keep going until the end of the body. So Draupadi also did that. What an incredible. How strong. Because what is your mind going to be telling you? Don't you think you should get something to eat? Don't you ask someone for something? People are nice here. They might know you're the queen. The cold, the elements, the other elements. These people, personalities were so powerful. powerful, great personalities. So about Queen Archie, she placed the body of her husband upon the funeral pyre. Prabhupada's purport. After seeing all the life symptoms in her husband's stop, the queen lamented for a while. Natural. She lamented for a while. The word kinship means for a little while. The queen was completely aware that her husband was not dead, although the symptoms of life, action, intelligence, and sense perception had ceased. So what does that mean? That means she was so fixed in transcendental knowledge. Her husband was not the body. It is not possible for her husband to be his body because she was not her body. It is not possible. If I am my body, which body am I? Am I this one that I inhabit now? Or the body that I inhabited 20 years ago that could run like anything and play basketball or whatever? Am I that body? Which body am I if I'm my body? Am I the 5-year-old body, the 7-year-old body, the 12-year-old body? So she was so fixed, powerfully, determinedly fixed. She naturally lamented, but not for very long, because she understood that her husband had not died. Dehinosmin yatadehi. Everyone. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by this change, by such a change. He does not identify with his body, and he does not identify others with their body. This knowledge is what Sanat Kumar was explaining to Prithu Maharaj. The knowledge that lets one see the oneness of all living entities. When a living entity transfers from one body to another, a process generally known as death, a sane man does not lament. So dhiras, sober person, namuyate, is not bewildered, does not lament, for he knows that the living entity is not dead, but is simply transferred from one body to another. So what happens if someone says, well, my relationship is with the body, and therefore that's why I'm lamenting? And what is the sloka that answers that one? You have to tolerate these things. They come and they go. You may be feeling like this, you may be feeling like that, but this is the way the material world is set up. You have to tolerate. When a living end, so the queen should have been afraid of being alone in the forest with the body of her husband. But since she was a great wife of a great personality, she lamented for a while, but immediately understood that she had many duties to perform. Thus, instead of wasting her time in lamentation, she immediately prepared a fiery pyre on top of a hill and then placed the body of her husband on it to be burned. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire, and while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, she entered its flames. And Prabhupada said, even in 1940, we personally knew of a chaste wife who died in this way. Rare case where the pain of separation from the husband is more intolerable than the burning fire. After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife Archie, the wife of the great King Prithu, many thousands of the wives of the demigod, along guards, along with their husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. Let's see if we can complete these prayers. At that time, the demigods were situated on the top of Mandara Hill. What is Mandara Hill famous for? Being the churning rod for the ocean of milk. And who was sitting on top of Mandara Hill? Excuse me? What was his name? Ajita, yes. What canto? Incredible pastime, that one is. Because Mandara Hill was being churned. Ajita, the Lord, was on top. The demons were on one side. The demigods were on the other side. And who was the Vasuki? So Krishna had entered the demons to give them the energy to churn. He entered the demigods as the mode of goodness to give them the energy to churn, and entered Vasuki, the snake, to give him the strength to be pulled back and forth like that continually. And he was on top. He was doing everything. That is really our situation, continuously. And only, there's this incredible, oh, I don't have it. Does anyone have a 10th canto? 10:87:40. Someone read it, please, loudly. Adi, you have it, too?
When a person realizes you, he no longer cares.
When a person realizes you, he no longer cares
about his good and bad fortune.
About his good and bad
fortune.
He no longer cares about his good and bad fortune.
Arising from past pious and sinful acts.
Since it is you alone, O Lord, who controls this good and bad fortune.
That was the
point I wanted to make. So it's Krishna who's controlling the good things that happen to us, the bad. You alone are controlling all this. So such a realized person is really realized. That's tateyuno kampamsu sumikshamano. And therefore, jivateyo muktipadesa dayabak. He can go back home, back to Godhead, because he's seeing Krishna so deeply in everything, the good and the bad. He's not neither seeing good nor bad. He's seeing Krishna. Tasyaham sulabha parta nitya yaktasya yogana. That he's because of his constantly seeing him everywhere, Krishna everywhere, Krishna is easy to obtain because he's always connected with Krishna. This is exalted consciousness. This is practically premandano charita bhakti vilochanena. Practically, this is the vision of the Bhagavata Uttama, the first class devotee. Wonderful. So at that time, the demigods were situated in the top of Mandara Hill, and all their wives began to shower flowers on the funeral pyre and began to talk amongst themselves as follows. So from the heavens, the flowers were showering down on the funeral pyre. So there are 25, 26, 27, 28, four texts of the wives of the demigods. The wives of the demigods said, "All glories to Queen Archi. We can see that this queen of the great King Prithu, the emperor of all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech, and body exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajesha, or Vishnu." Prabhupada says right at the end of his purport, something for us to note: we should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in human society and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. The husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness and follow in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayan or Krishna Rukmini. In this way, peace and harmony can be possible within this world. The wives of the demigods continued, "Just see how this chaste lady Archie, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see." Here is Prabhupada's explanation of the meaning of that. When Prita Maharaj is about a little more than a third way down the purport, or about a third, when Prita Maharaj and his wife Archie abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into spiritual airplanes which could penetrate the material elements and reach the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two separate airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral pyre, they remain separate individual persons. Prabhupada generally does not miss an opportunity to criticize impersonalists. In other words, they never lost their identity or became void as imagined by the impersonalists. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see that the body of King Prithumaraj was being burned and his wife Archie was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes in the Vaikuntha Lokas. All of this is possible simply by durvibhavyena karmana, inconceivable activity. Prita Maharaj was a pure devotee, and his wife, Queen Archie, simply followed her husband. Thus, they both can be considered pure devotees, and thus they are capable of performing inconceivable activities. Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to the devotional service of the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such vows of chastity and follow their husbands in all respects. A woman does not need to attain high qualifications, but if she simply follows in the footsteps of a husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife attain liberation and are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas. This is evinced by the inconceivable activities of Prita Maharaj and his wife. 27. In this material world, this is the wives of the demigods continuing, every human being has a short span of life. But those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead, for they are actually on the path of liberation. Other than myself, Mother Saranagati is the senior most in age in the room, and then probably myself, and I won't ask you how old you are, Mother Narayani, but who's amongst the men? Who's the oldest? Our Braja Bihari, could it be? It's like a mere boy. How old are you? How old are you, Mother? 45. Now, do you feel 45? I mean,
which day?
Well, do you, I mean the body, yes, but there's something that doesn't, is not aging, clearly. And how long has your life passed? Do you remember being young? Remember being 20? Huh? Yeah. But in this, do you remember your first days as a devotee? How many years ago? And now, boom, suddenly you're sitting here at a computer in Vrindavan. 45 years old and life is just boom. Yeah, and we really do think, just as it's continued from in the last 19 years, okay, my knees will hurt more, my eyes will weaken a little more, my hair will grow gray or fall out or something. But we think we're just going to continue. And then we'll be 50 and then 60 or 70. And then one day, the terror will enter our heart that it's about to end. And really, it comes as a shock, a great surprise, unless one is really prepared. So the wives of the demigods, the demigoddesses, say that it is a short life, a short span of life, especially from the demigod position. But our life is so short, it goes so quickly. It doesn't feel like that when you're 12 or 8. But when you're 50, you just remember, oh, it's going so quickly. When you're 60, where is it? What's left? So therefore, everyone should engage this life, this short span of life, in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. For they are actually on the path of liberation. For such persons, there is nothing which is not available. Now remember, there is nothing which is not available when we read, perhaps tomorrow, the end of this chapter. For one who engages his short life in devotional service, there is nothing that is not available. Who will be specially designated to remember that? Will anyone take responsibility? Okay. Thank you. Now, Prabhupada, the next verse. Any person who engages himself within the material world, now remember, this is the vision of someone, just imagine the perspective of these ladies. They're looking down and seeing the dead body burning. And they're looking up and they're seeing the souls going to the spiritual world. Now that must really give one a perspective on what's valuable and useless in life. And this is their conclusion on seeing that. Any person who engages himself within this material world in performing activities that necessitate great struggle, and who after attaining a human form of life, which is a chance to attain liberation from miseries, undertakes the difficult task of fruitive activities. They're looking down and seeing a burning dead body and knowing that that's where it all ends. A person who has done that must be considered to be cheated and envious of his own self when he could be proceeding upward towards Golok Vrindavan. So there is no other goal worthy of life than that. And the last two verses we'll read here. Maitreya Muni, the great sage, continued speaking, "My dear Vidura, when the wives of the denizens of heaven were thus talking amongst themselves, Queen Archie reached the planet with her husband." And what did they? It was only four verses worth of talking, so it wasn't a very long time, perhaps. She had already achieved the spiritual world. She reached the planet where her husband, Maharaj Pitu, the topmost self-realized soul, had attained. Prabhupada, in the last paragraph of this purport, which is the next to last verse we'll read, Prabhupada explains something about the relationship between husband and wife. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, a husband and wife can turn the home into a place as good as Vaikuntha, even while in this material world. Being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this world, husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha simply by installing the deity of the Lord within the home and serving the deity according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way, they will never feel the sex urge. That is the test of advancement in devotional service. One who is advanced in devotional service is never attracted by sex life. And as soon as one becomes detached from sex life and proportionately attached to the service of the Lord, he actually experiences living in the Vaikuntha planets. In the ultimate issue, there is actually no material world. But when one forgets the service of the Lord and engages himself in the service of his senses, he is said to be living in the material world. So a very strong and clear definition that Prabhupada has offered many times more than once. Because at the essence of false ego is this tendency to purusha prakriti stohi bungde prakriti, that I am the purusha, I am the enjoyer. This is at the heart of false ego. And it's envy. Really, it's envy. And then finally, Maitreya continued, the greatest of all devotees, Maharaj Pitu, was very powerful, and his character was liberal, magnificent, and magnanimous. Thus I have described him to you as far as possible. Now for the next 10 verses, there'll be the Shruti Phal. Raise your hand if you've heard all the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj that we read or have read it. Yes, there's all the Shruti Phals
will come tomorrow.
But it says it's better to hear it and read it 3 times. Okay, thank you very much. So we did 2 classes worth of purports today, and we might even possibly go beyond. We might start the next section tomorrow. We'll see how that affects the schedule too. Well, the absorption is there. But it seems that at the time of death, there's less of an... But although it's true that the last of all the senses that goes one by one as someone is dying, as they get close, very close to death, the eyes lose their ability to see, the tongue loses the ability to taste. There's no sensations of... But the what other ones are there? I missed one. Smell, gone, fragrance. But the last sense that goes is the hearing. The doctors told me that in the award for the dying. The last sense that goes for the hearing is the hearing sense. But eventually, help from outside stops. And one has to have one's shelter. Someone can remind you, but one has to be able to hold on. So Prithu Maharaj seems to have demonstrated that, but that he demonstrated that in the last years doesn't mean that he didn't hear a lot previous to that, prior to that. But it doesn't, it's a fact, it doesn't mention that. But that you would call smarana. Well, my understanding of that is that yoga practice is a process of self-realization. It's not what we do. But do you practice physical yoga as a process of self-realization, or just to keep your body in a little bit healthy? Do you have attachment to it? Is it worth taking another birth? No, but attachment. It's a consequence of a material attachment. But the question is, what's your attachment actually to? Right. So if it's... See, we can... I'm not speaking specifically of you. So just like I have a computer, right? So my computer helps me, it facilitates my devotional service in so many ways. But yet, despite that, I may be independently attached to my computer. And
And I can say to someone, oh, it only facilitates my devotional service. But in fact, I could be independently attached to my computer. This is between me and Krishna in many ways. What I'm attached to is separate from Krishna. And what I'm attached to only is, I'm really only attached to Krishna. So, nirvanda Krishna sambandhe yuktavaragya. Yuktavaragya means neutrality, in fact. So because we have material attachments to things like yoga and things like that, or computers, or our bodies, or to some particular type of eating, or fame, or this or that, that could bring us another birth in the material world. So the solution to, but if you ask someone to give up his material attachments by the strength of his mind, as we've been hearing, it is not sufficient. But the more we become attached to Krishna, naturally, these lesser attachments, which are ultimately very pale, fade, because they're not worthy of the soul's attachment. They have to do with the body and the mind. So it behooves one to actually fully cleanse one's consciousness of all material attachments. It is in our own interest. So whether one is attached to the yoga or anything that we're attached to, you know, the, you know, have a silver box for one of my Govardhan Shilas. So yes, it's being used in the service of Giriraj, but also maybe I very much like my silver box because it's engraved or something like that. So really we want to increase our attachment to Krishna and to be neutral. To really think everything of this material world, including the body, is Krishna's. It's all Krishna's. So I'll use it in his service, but oh Krishna, if you wish me to not use it in your service, then please let me know and I have no other attachment to it. Then I'll drop it like that. But maybe Krishna, not quite yet, because I have a little attachment to it. A little later maybe I'll be ready to give it up. There's a famous story of the Christian Saint Augustine, who he became very much desirous of surrendering to Lord Jesus, but he had a girlfriend. So he prayed, "My dear Lord, please take me, but not quite yet." So maybe we're a little like that. Take me as your own, but not quite yet. Did I get the story right? More or less. Okay, we're late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kirtan Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadev ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Parashar Masunda ki jai, Lalita Devi ki jai.